praying for one another and really encourage each other in the Lord and just really being renewed in the presence of God for another year of service. And it was really neat to really see what God is doing in the Brethren Church and the amount of sacrifice that these pastors are making to be able to serve the Lord. One of the pastors that I met was from LA, and his name is Justo, and he is an Uber driver by day and pizza delivery, right? And he pastored two small churches there. They're very poor churches, so they can't, you know, support him financially. And for him to go to conference, right, he said he has to not work for a whole entire week. And he's like, that's like $1,000 right there, you know. And for him, that's a very big deal. And yet, you know, just through talking to him, he was so overjoyed to be able to make it to conference and to worship the Lord. And I remember sitting next to him, and he just like, Jesus, I love you, in Spanish, you know. And it just, my heart's like, ah, oh, that's so powerful. So I'm like, I'm going to say, I love you, Jesus, in Vietnamese, you know. And I'm sure that's the first time ever in a Brethren context that people have heard Vietnamese, you know, in a worship service, which is really neat, you know. And I know that I grew up, you know, in a CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and about 101 years ago, actually 101 years ago, my great-grandfather gave his life to Christ, or he was baptized, because I read in his autobiography, 101 years ago, he decided to follow Jesus and commit himself to the work of the Lord. And it was really, you know, these humble Midwestern folks that gave generously to the mission of the Lord, that allow for, you know, churches in America to send missionaries to a foreign land called Vietnam, a place that they never heard of, right? And they committed financially, sacrificially, not to large church in urban areas, but it was these little tiny churches of maybe 20, 30 people in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the United States of America. And that's how I'm here today, because of them. Right? So I'm forever grateful for these churches in rural areas, because that's what the Brethren denomination is. Most of them are tiny churches out in the middle of Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania. Right? And I talked to one pastor, and he's like, yeah, we live in a town of 2,000 people. Right? And another incredible testimony that really show the love for the nations of the Brethren is that we want to partner with a church planter in South Africa. Right? And it's been in the work for the past several years. And so at the conference, there was a call to give towards this mission work. And you know, the head of the mission team was expecting, hey, if we could raise $25,000, that would have been like a massive win. Right, guess what happened? At the very end, the last night of the conference, we tally up the giving. And guess how much we raised together? Say that again? Very close, right? 50,000. Right? Double the amount, right? Now, the good thing is that it's not close yet. We could still give towards that until August. Right? So if you have a heart for mission and you want to invest in what God is doing in South Africa, you know, please come and see me and we'll hook you up, right? And we'll get going on that, right? Because the legacy of what we're doing will last for 100 years to come. Right? That's a personal testimony from my life. Right? I'm standing here 100 years later, because someone, somewhere, wrote $2 check. I'm not sure if they used check 100 years ago, right? To say, hey, we want to commit to the work of the Lord in a tiny country called Vietnam. So today, if God put that in your heart, I would encourage you to do that. And then the last night of the conference, you know, Pastor Stephen Cole, which many of you know, right? He's the Pope, right? No, just kidding. He's not really the Pope. But he was here. He served here for many years, and He has been recommitted for another 6 years, or we voted to let him keep his job for another 6 years, so he's very grateful. But anyway, long story short, at the very last sermon, you know, he really called us to renew a clarity of vision for reaching the lost, right? To embrace the Great Commission. In the midst of uncertainty that we live in right now, with all the cultural changes and all the churches that are dealing with many, many changes because of cultural challenges as well as COVID and many other issues in our culture, one thing that is clear for us to do according to the teaching of Scripture and according to what Jesus commanded us to do is that we're to make disciples of all nations, of all ethnic groups. Right? That has not changed. And Pastor Stephen Cole called us, all of our brethren churches, back to that vision, to commit ourselves to sharing the love of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to the people around us. And one of the ways I think that we can actually do that very effectively as part of our heritage is through friendship. Right? We as a people are known for a community of friendship. One of my mentors talks about how, you know, we have to build a bridge of love that is strong enough to carry the weight of truth. Right? Let me repeat that. A bridge of love that is strong and sturdy enough to carry the weight of truth. In our culture today, many people, you know, when we share about Jesus, they're just going to go, wait a minute, I don't want anything to do with religion. I don't want anything to do with your Jesus. Right? And so we have to be gentle in how we share the gospel. But more importantly, right, the truth of the gospel is weighty, it's heavy, because it requires people to change, right? It requires people to repent and say, hey, I was wrong. Now I need to make a U-turn and make a commitment to live differently. And how many of you guys know change is very difficult for all of us? Right? It requires a great humility in all of us. It requires the work of the Spirit to move in us, to help us recognize the weightiness of the truth of the gospel. And at the same time, in order for the gospel to be appealing to people, right, it has to be shared in love and not out of pride or arrogance. Right? And so friendship is so important for us. And the book of Proverbs has much to tell us or teach us about friendship. Let me go ahead and friendship, right? Proverbs say, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm going to go ahead and have Daniel play for us a video about friendship in the spirit of the Olympic Games that we're witnessing. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Right? These two Paul Volters competed against one another for glory. Right? And at the end, they were tied. Right? And so they refused to actually jump against each other. And when they returned home, they made a special medal for them. Now, for Japanese culture context, that's a big deal. Right? Because it's a very hierarchical culture. Right? And winning is very important. And yet, these two men understood the power of friendship, right? And they wanted to not having to, fight against each other. They want to share the honor and the glory. And that was particularly moving, so much so that the government of Japan created this special medal for them. And I think that is something beautiful for us today, because One of the definition of friendship here is, a friend is a trusted confidant to whom I am mutually drawn as a companion and an ally, whose love for me is not dependent on my performance and whose influence draws me closer to God. And this is from a book, Friends and Friendship, by Jerry and Mary White. Right? What do you think is the most are the most important words in that definition? You can call it out. To you, what would be most important to you? Trust it, okay? Performance. Not dependent on performance. Great. Say that again. Confidant, yes. Closer, okay? That's important too. God, yeah? Since we're in the church, I guess that's important, I would say. How about mutually? Right? Mutually, I think that's an important one because all the other words are really important, right? But if we don't have a sense of, mutually involved with each other's life, you're not really friends, are you? Right? You might be acquaintances. You may be, church members together. You may be even brothers and sisters in Christ. But I think the most important word there is that mutually, and the example of it is tennis. How many people does it take to play tennis, a game of tennis? Two, right? You can't really play tennis with one person, right? That's just maybe a practice, right? Where they have a ball that is shot from a machine and you just practice hitting it back, right? But in order to have a tennis game, you have to have two people engaging wholeheartedly in it. And so friendship, when we're friends, we need to be two people mutually committed to that process of being drawn together, right? Of willing to be vulnerable with one another and to not be enemies, right? To be ally, to look for each other's back instead of fighting for powers or for dominations. And then I also love that part, whose love for me is not dependent on my performance. Oh, wow, that is a fresh air, right? Because in our culture, we're all always looking for performance. I know it because I'm up here, right? All the time, right? Performance is like every day, every Sunday night, I'm like, did I do a good job? Did I not do a good job? Right? Did I say something I shouldn't have said? Right? But a good friend is someone who I don't have to pretend that I need to perform for them. Right? I can openly say, hey, listen, man, my week has been terrible. I've been really struggling with this. I'm going through this issue. Can you just listen to me? Maybe not even pray for me. Could you just allow me to dump all of this yuck and all the struggle that I have right there and there? And a good friend is someone who can hold that space for you, who allow you to be able to process everything that you're going through without fear that, hey, that person's going to judge me. Right? So that's important in friendship. It's a space where we can be vulnerable with our failures and also our successes as well. Well, I think there's a few principles, three in fact, that I see in the book of Proverbs, and there could be more, but I only have time for three this morning. So here we go. Principle number one, everyone has a limited capacity for friendship, and each person has a different capacity for numbers of friendship. So the verses for that is Proverbs 18:24. Okay, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's according to the NIV, right? Now there's other translations that are very different because in Hebrew, that first part there is just very convoluted. No one really knows exactly what it means. So different translator will place different emphasis. Okay, now the 21st century King James Version, right? It's not just your 16th century, it's 21st century, right? It's a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. And we don't know why they choose that translation or how they translate that, right? Now, here's just another version of that. He that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's the American Standard Version. Right? The Christian Standard Version say, one with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. Wow, those are painful words. Ouch, right? Like, what is Proverbs telling us? Like, don't make friends, right? Be afraid of too many friends, right? Is that really the warning of Scripture? Okay, and I think, to me, it is really about unreliable friends, right? People who are friends in words only. And how many can relate to that? We all can relate to that, right? At the conference, it was heartbreaking because at one of the breakout sessions, one of the ladies share about, and this is in the context of mental health and how do you help the church in mental health issues. And there was a presenter, and she asked the questions. And then this one lady, she's like a pastor's wife. She must be in her like late 60s, early 70s. And she just broke down, and she's like, yeah, this last month I shared something confidential to someone I thought was a close friend who's been in the church with me for many, many years. And within a few days, the things that I shared got back to me. And it was not good. It caused a lot of uproar and tensions. And she's like, I just don't know what to do anymore. Right? Now she's questioning all the friendships that she's ever had in that little church. Because right? That's her people, her group. And mind you, it is a small church in rural West Virginia somewhere, right? And now she's heartbroken by it. Because she thought that that friend was a reliable friend. And now everything just shattered for her. Right? And all of us, in some way, can testify to that. Right? And so friendship is something that can be very fulfilling. And friendship can also be something that can be very hurtful at the same time. And so Scripture is basically telling us then is that all of us, whether we like it or not, have a limited capacity, right? I can't be friend to everyone, right? I'm not that cool, right? I'm not, right? And I don't have the same interests as every one of you, right? Some of you are really into music. Man, you ask me anything about music, I'm like, oh, I have no idea, right? We were driving the other day, and a song that came up, and Rachel's like, yeah, this is a good song. It's Nirvana, and Timmy's rocking to it. I'm like, I don't know, Nirvana who, right? I have no clue, right? And so if you think you can be my friend based on music, well, forget about it, right? You know, just an example, right? Because a lot of time as friends, we bond over things that we have common interest in, right? So I'm limited in that way, right? If you want to bond with me, you know, over barbecue, yeah, we could do that. Because I'm into that. Now, some of you are like, oh, I don't know, you know, that's scary, you know. I can't, you know, I burn everything. Yeah, I could, you know. Anyway, so in some way, it's realistic for us to recognize our own limitations, right? To be able to connect with people, right? Some of you are introvert and others are extroverted. I'm very extroverted. Rachel is introverted, right? Rachel has very limited amount of friends. And they go deep, way, way deep, right? I might have tons of friends or acquaintances, right? And only one or two very deep relationship, okay? So all of us have different personality for that. With that being said, then, I think this is important for us to know, right? We must have realistic expectation of ourselves and of others, right? And in that way, we can be gracious to each other and to ourselves, right? In this setting here, there's going to be new people coming to our church, right? It's going to take time for people to reveal themselves, to be vulnerable, to seek for the next level of friendship, right? So one of the worst things you could do is try to force friendship on that person. Right? Hey, you must be my friend now since you start coming to Northgate Community Church, right? We're all so cool, right? No, right? Some people, it takes a lot of effort. Right? It takes a lot of effort for them to be open. And it's okay. Give time. Give room for them. Right? Give room for them to be vulnerable. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do our best to be hospitable to people. Right? We have to, right? As Christians, we need to be hospitable, kind, gracious. We need to invite people to different activities that we're doing. And hopefully they come. right? But be okay and be gentle if they say no. Right? They're not saying no to you. Right? They're just being themselves, and that's okay. Okay, because how many of you have been in a new space and people are just trying to gang up on you and try, hey, be my friend, and someone else like, be my friend, right? It's just weird and awkward. I've been in that situation. You've been in that situation. And then also for yourself, right? For some of you know that maybe coming into this new environment, you might only make one new friend. And that's okay. It really is. Right, because you only have a limited amount of energy and time, and you need to continue to invest in what? In the friendship that you already have. Right? My best friend doesn't live here. Right? My best friend lives in Petaluma, California. Right? It takes a lot of effort for me and Rachel to invest in that relationship. We have to drive sometimes 2 hours to get to them on the weekend, right? And so knowing that, right, we're realistic about that as well. Right, so some of you, you need to continue to build into the relationship that God has already given to you. Now, don't try to force a friendship when it's not there. Unlimited acceptance, not unlimited friendship. Right, as a body of Christ, we're to welcome and love everyone as Jesus loves us. Right, and genuinely do that and care for one another. But that doesn't mean that we will be friends, or deep friend with everyone here as well. Okay, that's just not realistic. And again, one of the last point there is work really hard to keep and to deepen the friendship you already have while being open to new ones. It's okay to be open to new relationship as well. I'm not saying, hey, Pastor Chin say, don't make new friends. No, I'm not saying that. Right? Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Right, pray and say, Lord, increase my capacity for new friends. And Lord, would you provide someone that I can mutually share life with in this new congregation? Right, and be surprised, because God does surprise us when we pray. How do you guys know that God answers prayer? Right, everyone should say yes. Right, and when we pray and say, Lord, would you know, open my heart, right, and someone else's heart, so that we can connect deeply. I believe that God can answer that prayer for us. And here's some scripture for that. Okay, do not forsake your friends and your father's friend. Proverbs 27:10. Now, what does Proverbs speak of when it talks about a true friend? Okay, there's many, many characteristics, but I think this is important, and this is principle number two. A true friend speaks truth and love to us. Okay, and a true friend is someone who knows when and how to speak honestly or truthfully and helpfully to a friend. Right? We all know someone that knows the inner topography of our soul. Right? There's time when a friend can just sit quietly with you and silent and not say anything and still know your very soul. Right? They don't have to say anything, and you can be so comforted by their presence. And because a friend is sensitive to when to speak and when not to speak. Right? Sometimes we can often so eager to offer people our advice. How many of you guys can relate to that? I'm really good at that, by the way. And I have to learn over the years from my wife, Rachel. It's like, Chin, just shut up. Right? That person, right? You might have all the Bible verses for that person's situation right now, but that person does not need your Bible verse. Actually, what you're doing is even worse. Right? So just shut up and listen. Right? Because in doing so, you're showing that you've been sensitive to their cries. Right? And oftentimes, all we need is not someone to give us a whole bunch of advices, but someone that can come and hug us or hold us in space and in time, in silence before the Lord. Right? And I think that's really, really important as well. But here it is, Proverbs 27:5-6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. It's a gift when God has given you a friend that see deep inside your soul and be able to call you out when you need to be called out. Right? Like my friend Seth in Petaluma, right? He always tried to keep me grounded. Right? He's like, Chin, what's going on in your soul, buddy? Right? How's your walk with the Lord? You're doing all these things, but hey, are you connected to Jesus? Right? Or sometimes you say, hey, don't let pride get in the way, Chen. Right? Listen to others. Okay, so and sometimes I might post something on Facebook, and if you see Seth Allingham, right, repost something and say, that's my friend being a friend, right? I don't always agree with him because politically he's more conservative than I am, and that's okay. Right, but that's what Seth is trying to do for me, right? Trying to be a good friend. Say, hey, Chin, listen, there may be other ways of thinking about this issue. All right, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Proverbs 27 to 9. And then Proverbs 27, 17 say, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. So if you have these kind of friends in your life that can speak truth to you, but do it out of love, out of deep earnestness, and out of deep concern for your welfare, that's a great thing to have, right? Now, that's something that you also can learn to do for each other, for someone else in your own life. Now, it does take some risk. How many of you guys know that? It takes risk to speak truth to people in your life because you're like, well, how would that person take it? Right? Now, that takes a lot of relational, you know, what I would call built up, right, in the banks of, you know, your relationship, your deposit over time. Okay, currency, I call it relational currency and trust. And hopefully you've built that long enough for when you speak out, people go, oh, yeah, you know what, I think this person has earned that trust. You know, this person has been with me through thick and thin. This person has seen me in my worst moment and has not judged me. So now I can listen to that person. Remember, we have to build what? A bridge that is? A bridge that is what? Of love that is strong enough to carry the weight of truth. So I hope that we can all do that for one another here. Now, principle number three is that time and effort are the soil that nurture deep friendship. Right? One of the challenges to modern way of living is that we can be scattered all over the place. Right? Back in the day, people lived in a more tight-knit community. Right? But now with the advent of the cars, airplane, and you know, modernity, we could live across the country and still try to connect over Facebook. Right? This week I add like maybe 10 new people on my Facebook as friends. Right? But reality is that, are they really going to be my friends? I mean, probably not. Because why? Because of proximity, because of the limited amount of time I have and the limit of time they have, the limit of effort they will put into it, right? It's probably going to be hard for us to really deepen those conversations. I'm probably going to see them maybe once a year at conference, maybe at most, right? And so I'm being realistic about it, right? Like, some of those people are really cool. They're really neat. You know, I had a fun time getting to know them. But in order for me to really build that friendship, I'm going to need to put a lot of time and energy into it. And so I'm going to be cautious and wise about who I'm going to do that with. Right? Because a friend loves at all times. He is there to help when trouble comes. Proverbs 17:17. Right? And so in that regard, here is something that we need to look for in terms of how we develop deep friendship with people. We need to intentionally make time to connect with people. Don't just assume that your friendship over time is going to get better. Right? You know, that's something that we have to, every time that we get together, we need to make a point to connect with people. Right, to set out times, and that's going to be costly. Right? Be present for one another. Again, that's something that I've said before. Learn to listen well. Be sensitive to the emotional needs of others. And then most importantly, keep confidentiality. It's so important that you don't just blabber everything that you hear from your friends to the rest of the world. Right? And I think one of the wise things that you to do is you need to test your friends. Right? Don't just meet someone like, you know, after 1 week and then you spill everything about your life to that person. And, you know, no, like, don't, like, little by little, test the waters to see what they do with your emotion, with your heart, what you share with them. Do they tend to go and share that with others? Because if they do, ooh, watch out, right? If you share something not that personal and they're already blasting it on Facebook or on the prayers network, right? Then, okay, I need to back off a little bit. Not just being wise with your own heart, right? And we do that really well, don't we? Like, hey, can you pray for my friend? You know, my friend just shared something with me. Let's pray for that person. And that person is told you, please keep that confidence, right? So be very aware of that. And then challenge one another in following Christ. I think as Christians, it's really important that we make our friendship helping us to be more Christ-like and more focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the model for that, the best person that does that for us is Jesus himself. In John 15:12-14, it says, "This is my command. Love one another the way I love you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the thing I commanded you." So Jesus here tells us that we are his friends. Isn't that beautiful? He said, you're no longer my servant if you continue to read that passage. You're my friends because I review my heart to you. I review the plan that the Father has given me. All the secret thing that I have, I entrust it to you. Because I want you to share in all that I have. Right? And because of that deep type of relationship and intimacy that I want to be with you, right, I command you to do the same for one another. To love each other deeply. And to sacrificially lay down your life for one another. Right? That's what it means to put your life on the line for your friends. And ultimately, Jesus went on to the cross to do exactly just that for us. So this morning, as we end here, I just want to encourage you to pray. Right, and ask Jesus, hey, which friendships in your life right now you need to intentionally put more time and effort into? Right? And then, what are some other people in this congregation? Right? Maybe you can pray and say, Lord, would you increase my capacity for new friend? Maybe for one more friend in my life, right? That I could commit my time and energy to getting to know them, right? Commit my time and energy and emotionally to be vulnerable, to be able to make a new friend. And as we come to the end of our service, I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come now because we're going to enter a time of communion together.